Hopefully you've got a chart there. And what we're going to do tonight, we're just going to do a quick overview of the Old Testament. 39 books in the Old Testament. If you say, how do you know there's 39 books, or how do I remember there's 39 books in the Old Testament? Well, if you spell out old, there's three letters in old. Testament is nine letters, so you got 39 books in the Old Testament. That's how I have to remember stuff. Now, when you go over the overview of the Old Testament, have you ever wondered, how does all these books lay out? Who was before who? Was Daniel before Moses, or Moses before Joshua? All this stuff. And it's always good to help to see an overview of this thing, of the Old Testament. It'll help you in, when a preacher or a teacher says, hey, take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings. In your mind, if you've got all of this laid out, you know where you're at on a chart in your mind. And it helps with your Bible study. So, all right, think about this. The Bible is God's perfect word. I'll just give you this in passing. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning who? God. Psalm 118 in verse number 8 is the middle verse of the whole Bible. Psalm 118 verse 8, and this is what it says. It is better to put trust in, it is better to put trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. The middle two words is the Lord. Of the whole Bible is the Lord. The reason you have to have two, obviously, is because there's an even number of words in the whole Bible. So there has to be two. Is the Lord is the middle two words of the whole Bible. And in Revelation 22, the Bible says the Spirit and the Bride say come. So you've got in the beginning God, you've got the Lord in the middle, and you've got the Holy Spirit at the end. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God put this book together. Now, you say, well, man wrote the Bible. And we could say yes to that, but think about this. If I was to write a book and I was to type all this thing in the computer, I print all of that out, I go to the publisher, and I say, look what this computer wrote. No, I wrote it. The computer just printed it, right? God wrote it. Man just printed it. Does that make sense? So when somebody says, oh, the Bible's just man wrote that, that'd be like going to a publisher saying, look what this computer wrote. Somebody was over the shoulder of Moses telling him what to write. And I'll show you some of that here in just a minute. Now, look at Romans just for a second. Chapter number 15, Romans 15. And there are some that would say, well, the Old Testament is no good up today. Old Testament's no good. Well, let's find out. Romans 15, and let's look at verse number 4. Romans 15 and verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's the Old Testament, written before time, were written for our what? Learning. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, and so on and so forth. So whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Can we learn from the Old Testament? Why, sure. There are some things in the Old Testament we don't do anymore. I understand that. The Old Testament, some of them went to church on Saturday. The Jews went to church on Saturday, the Sabbath. We, as New Testament Christians, go to church on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. So there are some things that we do not do anymore. But can I learn from the Old Testament? Why, sure. I can learn from the story of I can learn from the story of Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrew boys and all that kind of thing. So there's a lot of things that you can learn. Now, just by way of introduction, 39 books in the Old Testament. Take your Bible, if you have it, and go, I tell you what, find Genesis 1:1 and do like this. Now, you may think we're in elementary school, but we're not. When I saw this for the first time, it really helped me. And maybe you already know this. Go to Genesis 1:1 and then find Malachi right before Matthew. You say, I don't know where Malachi is. Well, go to Matthew and take a left. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So, in other words, if you got Genesis, if you got the Old Testament, you got it in your hand like this. There's your Old Testament right there. Okay? Now, find the book of Genesis and go to the end of Genesis 50. So, y'all see I got Genesis right here in this hand. You see this little Genesis right here? I got the whole Old Testament right there, but then I got Genesis right there. Y'all see what I'm doing? That Genesis right there is half of the Old Testament. Genesis covers 2,300 years of time. The Old Testament is only 4,000 years. So if you, the book of Genesis covers from Adam to Joseph. From Adam to Joseph is about 2,300 years. Isn't that amazing? So when you read the book of Genesis, you've read half of the history of the Old Testament. Isn't that something? Now, alright, I tell you what, I'm going to stop that and stay in Genesis and let's look real quick. You say, okay, how do you know that in the beginning was 4,000 years, 4,000 B.C., B.C. before Christ, okay? Well, it's called, I have an Old Scofield Reference Bible. In the Old Scofield Reference Bible, there's a middle margin in there, and up above it says B.C. 4,004. Now, I don't know if you have time in your Bible. It doesn't mean that it has nothing to do with version, okay? It has to do with reference Bible. I've got an Old Scofield. Some people have, there's all kinds of reference Bibles. And some put the dates in there for you. Mine actually does. And it's through Usher's chronology. What that is, all through the Old Testament, this is a history book. It's a record of dates. You know why the Bible goes through there and says, and Adam 930 years and he died. And Noah lived 600 and such and such and he died. Then you're thinking, well, why in the world is he telling us how old everybody is? By that, we know Adam lived by adding all of it. Now, I've never done it, but I trust those that have added it up that Adam was 4,000 years before Christ. Okay? So the Old Testament, because time starts over, the birth of Christ, we start, now we are in what? 2020 A.D., which is Anno Domini, which is not after death. A lot of people say, well, it's after death. No, it's after birth. We living in 2020, year and the year of our Lord. B.C. Now, colleges today are changing all of that. They don't use B.C. and A.D. anymore. Why? Because they want to get rid of the essence of Christ. Because time is based on just being born. So, in the beginning, we have a fellow and a lady by the name of Adam and Eve, right? That's in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Adam and Eve have twins, probably Cain and Abel. Y'all know the story of Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter number 4, Cain kills Abel. There's a sermon I preach, the devil's raising Cain, but God is Abel. And then after that, obviously, there's another boy being born to Adam and Eve. His name is Seth. You can find all of this genealogy in Genesis chapter 5. Now, I'm having to go pretty quick because we got to get to Malachi before the end of the Bible lesson tonight. And then have time for questions. Genesis chapter 5 will give the genealogy of all of what I'm telling you. And then after that, you got a fellow by the name of Noah. Noah shows up in Genesis chapter 5, and there's a flood that comes in Genesis chapter number 6, right? The flood comes in Genesis chapter number 6. And after Noah has three boys. I didn't write them on here, but Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Everybody in this whole wide world can trace themselves back to one of those three boys. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Now, like I said, I didn't write those boys on there, but that's where we can trace our lineage back to. All nationalities, it doesn't make any difference. We all come. Guess what? We're all kin. We're all kin. We all go back to Shem, Ham, or Japheth. And so, after that, there's a fellow that comes along by the name of Abraham. If you were listening Sunday morning, his name was Abram. And then God changed his name to Abraham a little later. Abraham had three boys. Isaac, you'll notice a lot of times in the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had 12 boys, which are known as the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. All of those, all the Jews today can trace themselves. Jesus was from the tribe of Benjamin. No, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. The Apostle Paul, that wrote 13 books of the New Testament, was a Benjamin, from Benjamin, Benjamite. Most of those Benjamites were left-handed, by the way. I don't know if anybody's left-handed, but a lot of those Benjamites were left-handed. And so you go. Anyway, I was trying to think of some more Jews that that you would be familiar with. Anyway, Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has... Now, here's some history for you. God promised Abraham and Sarah in their old age that they were going to have a boy to carry on the promised seed, the nation of Israel, right? Well, Abraham, Sarah says, there's no way I'm having no baby at 90 years old. Won't you go into Hagar? Hagar was a handmaid that Abraham had. Abraham went unto her, had a son by the name of Ishmael. Ishmael was not the promised seed. And got ahead of God. And so here's a little history for you. This is in Genesis chapter number 12, 13, somewhere along in there. 14, 15 is all what I'm trying to tell you. And so finally, Abraham and Sarah did have a son. Abraham was about 100. Sarah was about 90-something. And they had a boy named Isaac. So Isaac and Ishmael were what? Half-brothers? They had the same daddy, different mamas, right? You know all the Muslims that we're having trouble with and the Jews are having trouble with today? You know who they trace their lineage back to? Ishmael. The reason the Jews are having so much trouble today on that Temple Mount because of Ishmael, because of this traces all the way back. What you do today affects future generations. Abraham had Ishmael. Ishmael, the Muslims, they say, Abraham's our father. Yes, he is. But he's not the promised seed. Isaac was. Isaac, that property belongs to Isaac. All the land of Israel belongs to Isaac and his boys and his kids. You say, now here's something interesting. Now, this makes a lot of people mad, but it's Bible. And a lot of times Bible makes people mad, but hey, can't help it. Ishmael was born first, right? In Genesis 22, about verse 1 or 2, and God said, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, Isaac. I thought Abraham had another boy named Ishmael. God don't recognize him. Whew. Boy, that stung, didn't it? And most people in the world don't realize that. They have no idea what we're dealing with today is because of that little history lesson right there. Anyway, Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And Jacob has these 12 boys. And I can give you their names, but anyway, 12 tribes of Israel. And then in Genesis, the latter part. Now, if you remember the series I preached on From the Pit to the Palace, the life and story of Joseph, that was at the end of the book of Genesis. Covers 50 chapters. Genesis, 2,300 years. Genesis covers that much history of the Old Testament. And then after Joseph, you remember Joseph goes down to, here's some more history for you. Joseph goes down to and becomes second in command in Egypt. Well, the land of Israel's having a famine. Joseph calls his daddy Jacob and all his brothers and say, y'all come down to Egypt. Y'all know where Egypt is, right? Anybody fail geography? Come down to Egypt, where all the food is. I'm in control of all of this. Moved all of his family down to Egypt. Okay? So Israel is all down in the land of Egypt. Joseph is second in command under Pharaoh. The Pharaoh that made Joseph second man, he dies. Another Pharaoh raises up. And guess what? All these Israelites are multiplying, having babies everywhere. And the nation of Israel is growing. And so this next Pharaoh says, you know what? I don't think I like this. The nation of Israel is going to be so many, they're going to overtake us. So Pharaoh puts the nation of Israel into Egyptian bondage after Joseph dies. There's a verse over in, I can quote it, but I can't tell you where it's at. There arose a generation that knew not Joseph. And the Pharaoh put all the nation of Israel under Egyptian bondage. And the nation of Israel cried out, says, God send us a deliverer. Well, guess who God sends? A fellow by the name of Moses. And that's where you, at Moses, born in Exodus 1. Exodus chapter 1. You see this guy right here, Moses? He writes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books in your Bible. This guy writes all five of these books and called the Pentateuchs. Now think about this. Think about this just for a minute. Now, I don't know if you're getting a lesson out of this, but think. Moses wrote about Adam, who lived 2,000 years before Moses was ever born. How did Moses write about somebody he ain't never met before and tell you a story about the creation in the Bible where he wasn't even nowhere around? Isn't that amazing? You say, Moses wrote, I think God was sort of holding the pen because there's no way Moses knew that. Moses didn't know about Noah and the ark until God told him, write this down, put it on paper. Isn't that something? Writing that many years, that's wild. That's why that Bible is so important. It's not a matter of, you know, Moses was actually there and saw the creation. He goes, oh, let me write that down. I experienced this firsthand. He didn't experience it firsthand. God told Moses. Moses wrote it down. Something he never experienced. Think about this one. You think that is something. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay? Deuteronomy, Moses is writing, chapter 34. He's writing along there. God's telling him, writing along. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 5, that's what it says. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, dies. What? Now, what? Y'all don't think God's got a sense of humor. It's funny. You know, Moses is sitting there writing, and he goes, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses wrote about his death before it ever happened. Said where he's going to be buried on Mount Nebo. Moses wrote it all out before it ever happened. And that's something. Can you imagine being Moses? God says, write this down. I'm fixing to tell you about your funeral. You know, anyway, it's just funny to me. Now, Moses dies, and there's another fellow that comes on the scene. His name's Joshua. Remember Joshua. So you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua is your next book. He's the next guy that's going to lead the nation of Israel. Guess where he leads them? He leads them into the promised land. Moses leads them across the Red Sea. They wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. And then after Moses dies, Joshua takes over. They cross the Jordan over into the promised land. And guess what? They come up on some giants over there. And this is where your Judges and Ruth comes in. After Joshua, now if you were looking at the index of your Bible, you would notice Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges would be next. Ruth and Judges were written around about the same time. Now, again, here's how I have to do things. I'm not a smart individual, but I know how to get around things. So I look at Judges. Can you name some of the judges? There's a bunch of them. Well, this is how I have to do it. There's Jehud, Deborah, Gideon, Ehud, there's Samson, Shamgar. That'll get me enough started. You see what I'm saying? That's how I have to do it. Now, y'all are educated enough to know you can probably remember all of them. That'll get me a good start and remember all those judges. Anyway. And then Ruth comes along, the Moabite woman. She meets Boaz. Boaz is driving his John Deere tractor, and he looks over and says, "Whoa, look at that woman right there. Where does she come from?" That's all in the Hebrew. And so Boaz marries Ruth, and that is a great picture. So I ain't got time to preach all this, but as a great picture, Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ. Ruth is a picture of a Gentile woman. Boaz, a Jew, marries a Gentile woman. Jesus Christ comes to this world, marries a Gentile church. Isn't that something? That's a good story. I got time. All right. Then you got a fellow by the name of Samuel. He comes along. And after Ruth, the judges, there were judges in the land, you know. And so the nation of Israel was like, why can't we have kings like everybody else? Why can't we have kings, you know? And God says, well, I thought I was doing a pretty good job of being y'all's king. And they said, no, we want somebody down here we can actually touch and see and all that kind of thing. God says, all right, I'll get you one. They said, no, let us pick our own. So the nation of Israel picked a fellow by the name of Saul. Saul was not God's pick. Saul was the nation of Israel's pick. And sometimes he'll let you get what you want, but then you'll lose what you had. There's another sermon. Ain't got time to go on that one either. Saul was king time is right on that. Saul dies. Y'all remember who took over after Saul? The actual king that God wanted. A little shepherd boy. And King David, he killed Goliath. You know where that happens? At 1 Samuel chapter, 16, 17? Long in there, David kills Goliath. There's 1 and 2 Samuel. David has a son named Solomon. He takes over king after that. Okay? After Solomon dies, here's where it gets all. Here's where your Bible just, everything up till now, we're up to 1st, 2nd Samuel. Up till now, everything's pretty well hunky-dory. I've heard Bible stories on all that, everything I've just told you. After Solomon dies, the nation of Israel split. They split into 10 tribes of the 12. Y'all see them 12 tribes? 10 of them go north. Now, why they want to go north? I don't have any idea. Has a joke, all right? 10 of them north, called the northern tribes. And 2 of them are what they call the southern tribes. Okay? The southern tribes, they have kings. Northern tribes, they have kings. Now, this is why your Bible, you think, gets confusing. And it does for me. There's where 1st and 2nd Kings comes in. So you got Jeroboam took over right here, King Jeroboam. Rehoboam takes over down here. And every time you see Kings in Chronicles, you're going, Jehoiakim lived 1600, and then Rehoboam, he did, and you're like, okay, I can't keep track. You had northern king, northern king. Everybody's, is everybody with me? And that's where your 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles comes in. The first 10 chapters of 1st Chronicles is genealogy. It's like Matthew. And so on, so on. And you're like, you know, fast forward. I do. I'm not the only ones. All right. So, now, after that, you got 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. And then you have Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Y'all see that? End of the Old Testament. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're scratching your head going, there's books after Esther. I know. This is where they're not in chronological order. Everything's pretty much in chronological order until after Esther. Now, y'all ready? Okay. Let me get my pen out. Y'all tell me, and we'll put them on the chart right here. Everything after Esther, starting with, what's next? Job. Job through Malachi all go under here. Does that make sense? In other words, when you get done reading Esther, you've read the whole history of the Old Testament nation of Israel. What happens is, Job through Malachi comes back and fills in the blanks of everything. You with me? Let's take Job. Job was written, some people say Job was written even before Genesis. Job, they say, is the oldest book in the Bible. Job was written around the time of Jacob and Esau, Jacob's brother, Esau. So we're going to put Job right there. Okay? What's after Job? Psalms. Anybody know who wrote Psalms? Well, David's right here. Y'all see him? So, Psalms goes right here. Right? Written by David. You see, Job don't where Esther leaves off. You understand? Once you read Esther, you've read all the history of the nation of Israel. Job don't pick up, and I keep repeating myself because repetition is the key to learning. Job don't pick up where Esther leaves off, and then after Job leaves off, Psalms picks up. Mm-mm. Job talked about back here. Psalms was written by King David. What's after Psalms? Proverbs. Y'all know who wrote Proverbs? What's after Proverbs? Ecclesiastes. You know who wrote Ecclesiastes? What's after Ecclesiastes? Songs of Solomon. Well, I wonder who wrote that. Solomon. You see what I'm saying? Those other books fall in line under here. So now when you read your Old Testament and you're reading Psalms, well, in your mind, you're thinking of this chart right here, if you can read my writing, you're thinking, okay, Psalms is not after Esther, even though it is in the chronological order, but Psalms is back over here. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon is right here. Now, does that make sense? Does that clear anything up? All right. After Song of Solomon, who do we have? Isaiah. Now, here's where I have to get and refer to. This is a more detailed chart. Okay? Y'all see where the little split happens. Y'all see the little split? Northern tribes, southern tribes. Well, that's my little split right here. Okay? And I think they're sort of in orange. Y'all see those books of the Bible in orange? Okay. To the northern tribes, you've got Jonah, Amos, Hosea, those books written to these northern tribes. Hey, y'all get right with God. This, that, and the other, so on and so forth. Jonah preaches to Nineveh. Hey, repent, get right. Okay. Then on that bottom down there where it says Judah, now on the chart, you see, let me explain this so it's not confusing. Up there it says Israel on that top northern line, and the southern line is Judah. All right. A lot of times in the Bible, that's how the northern tribes were called Israel. Your southern tribes were called Judah. Because these southern tribes, the two southern tribes that went south were Judah and Benjamin. The other ten went north, and they were referred to as Israel. And that's another thing in the Bible. When you read, and Israel did this. Well, you have to remember, sometimes the Bible says, and Judah did this, talking about the nation. Well, he's talking about the southern tribes, you see. So, all of that there. Now, let me hurriedly and give you this. These northern tribes went into Assyrian captivity. Southern tribes went into Babylonian captivity. With me? There's where Daniel comes from. Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel. You remember, Daniel wrote about Hebrew boys and Daniel in the lion's den. You know why? How Daniel wound up in the lion's den? Because he was under a Babylonian king. But Nebuchadnezzar, he was a Babylonian king. While Israel was under captivity. In other words, the Babylonians again took over those tribes. The Assyrians took over these tribes and brought them out of their land. Destroyed their people. Okay. And they stay, I think, 70 years, I think. 70 years in captivity. Then, they get out of captivity, I think, under King Cyrus. Y'all, help me with my history, but under King Cyrus, they get to go back into their own land. Nehemiah tells us about that. Because in Nehemiah chapter number 2, Nehemiah gets the command to rebuild the temple. Why are they going to be rebuild the temple? Because they're in their own land again, you see. Jeremiah, they called him the weeping prophet. Why was he weeping? It's because his nation was in captivity. Lamentation. All those books fall in the order under all of this. And we'll tell you more detail of what's going on and all this kind of thing. Does that make sense? I hope so. Now, do you see this little line that's missing right here? That represents 400 years. 400 years. That is between Malachi and Matthew. There were 400 years of silence after Malachi. Then there was 400 years, and then Matthew, the birth of Christ. Your New Testament starts. Now, next Wednesday night, I'll do an overview of the New Testament. Tonight is just the Old Testament because I don't have time to do both. But here's an overview of the Old Testament. Now, I'm hoping that helps as far as placing the books of the Bible in their proper place where they go. Because when a preacher says, all right, this morning we'll reach out to Nehemiah. Well, in mind, okay, they just got back into the land. Nehemiah's going to, they're going to be, re-give the account to rebuild the temple and the walls of the city and da 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 da. There we go. I already know in my mind that's where we're at. If a preacher says, all right, I'm preach out a book of Daniel. All right, they're in Babylonian captivity in the book of Daniel. You see? And that just helps. It helps. This is a Wednesday night Bible study. That's what we're doing, is studying the Bible. An easy way to lay out the Bible and study. And so, anyway. But that really helped me when I first saw that. So if you were to go back and do our little elementary lesson a while ago, and you take Genesis and you go to Esther, that's all the Old Testament. The rest of those books fall in line under here. Does that make sense? Any question or comment? Now, again, obviously this chart is a whole lot more detailed than mine. But here's where I gave you this, because where it is, right here where my spit is, gives you the book of her. Top, you'll see up at the top, says 70 years at the time, where they were in captivity. You know, the top line, they went into Assyrian captivity. The bottom line, Babylonian captivity. Now, it's at the very top. Matter of fact, if you go, it says Old Testament survey chart timeline. Right under timeline, you see 70-year exile. Y'all see that? There's that time of captivity. Y'all see that? Now, during this 400 years of silence, the Roman Empire took over under Julius Caesar. And Jesus was born. He was born under where the Romans had taken over. In other words, like the Babylonians took over and put them in captivity, the Romans had taken over, and the Jewish people. That's why they couldn't kill Jesus without going through Pontius Pilate to get the okay. Why? They were under Roman rule, Roman law. They couldn't crucify him. As they went through, and Rome said they could do it under Pontius Pilate. And then, what, 70 A.D., destroyed Herod's temple. We'll get into all that. That's New Testament overview, New Testament next week.